Hello and welcome into the KE Report. I'm your host, Shad Markowitz, and I'm speaking today with Dave Erfley, founder of the JuniorMinerJunkie.com. And Dave, it's always great to get your thoughts on the markets, and in specific, the precious metals markets we'll be talking about today. We do have gold poking its head up still above the $1,900 level, and some people are encouraged, although we're not seeing a lot of follow-through in the rest of the sector. Silver is at least up today above 24, about 24.16 at the time of this recording. But what do you make of the environment with the precious metals, in specific gold? Is the bid only geopolitical? Are there other factors involved here? What do you make of the recent gold price action, Dave?
Oh, yeah, Shad. It's not just geopolitical, but it certainly has given it that extra push. I think the geopolitical situation is the reason why it got so far above 1850. But we haven't seen any Russian shots fired over there yet. You know, they've got troops over there now. So the gold price is still hanging around 1900. It's overbought on the daily, and it's consolidating high above 1880. So I think that 1880 level is good support right now until we see what happens over there in Ukraine.
Now, if we were to see those tensions ease and gold did correct, because I would imagine some premium would come out of the precious metals if the geopolitical tensions did ease, where do you think you would see strong support coming in a corrective move?
I think there's good support at 1850. There's stronger support at 1820. And I think there's critical support at 1780, 1800. As you recall, though, I think we discussed this a few weeks ago, and I wrote about it in my column, that there's a really strong buyer below 1800. You know, the last few times it's gotten below 1800, we saw quick intraday reversals back above that level. So I think 1800 is now becoming a solid floor, although the market really hasn't factored that into the gold stocks yet. But I think that's coming. We haven't seen consistent decoupling of the gold stocks and the stock market just yet. We're seeing flashes of it. But now the gold stocks, the miners are overbought. The juniors are still being sold as risk off has increased in the marketplace. But the GDX, we need to see a close above that strong resistance level at 35. It's having trouble there right now. It's trying to consolidate around there, these huge gains that it's had recently. But if we could get a weekly close above 35 this week, then I think that would go a long way to putting in a floor in the miners. But for the GDXJ, it's still got a ways to go. 47 is the number I'm looking at for a weekly close on the GDXJ to get more buying coming into the juniors.
Yeah, it's interesting because just like gold has held that level, that 1780 level, and bounced back, and it did something similar at a lower level at 1750 and at 1720. Those higher lows have continued to hold. Well, GDX has done the same thing. It's held that 29 level and been tested a lot of times down there. It got down to 2840 once, but it's generally held that $29 support zone and bounced back. GDXJ has not fared quite as good, and even though it's not a good representation of all juniors, in general, the juniors just have not held up as well. What do you make of that, where metals prices are strong, the majors are doing pretty good, but the juniors are just sucking wind a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think a big reason is because there's been so many false breakouts during this consolidation. You know, the people that have remained are getting frustrated and tired of seeing it happen and tired of seeing their portfolio continually be whipsawed. I think that has a lot to do with it. I think another thing to do with it is the inflation has come into the mining sector, of course, along with everything else. So while the gold price has remained around 1750 to 1850, and now it's gone above 1850, it's hanging around 1900, but it's been hanging around 1750 to 1850 for so long that inflation has gone so much higher that investors are worried about cost inflation on all these projects and all these producers. So with the inflation coming into the mining space along with everything else, it's kept people shy about coming into the mining space. But all it's done, as far as I'm concerned, is it's created even more of an opportunity to accumulate the quality juniors at fantastic prices in relation to the gold price. I mean, if you're like me, and you think, and you take a look at that 20-year chart of the gold price with that beautiful cup and handle formation, with the handle starting to be possibly completed now very soon. I mean, there's not too many examples of 12-year cup and handle patterns in major markets. I know Jordan's talked about this too, Jordan Roy Byrne. And it's just really something that a chart that people should just print out and stick next to their screens. It really keeps you excited about this sector and not too worried that if you kind of look like a fool by accumulating these things early and, you know, they're down. Some of them that I've accumulated recently are down 15, 20%, but I'm not worried when I take a look at that chart, because I know that once that gold miner switch is flipped in this sector, and we've seen it a few times, you know, I've been in this sector 20 years and I've seen it a few times, once that switch is flipped, these things can move really far, really fast. And we're in a situation right now where I think we're really close to that. And those two levels are what I'm looking at on the GDX and GDXJ, especially the GDXJ, that 47 level. I really think that's going to be the price that once it's closed over, that switch will start to go on these higher risk juniors.
Yeah, Dave, once that on switch is hit, the sector can really move. And we saw glimpses of what can happen when you looked at some of the other commodities like lithium stocks, uranium stocks, copper stocks, when palladium stocks took off. They took off so quick that a lot of people felt like they were on the sidelines watching and thought, well, now I've missed the move. And I'm sure we'll see something similar in the precious metals when that switch does get turned on. But is it going to take the mining stocks and even gold basing for a while at these higher levels before more people come in to get that momentum going where they believe it? Or are we at risk of going into this rate hike cycle with the Fed and people shifting focus to some degree from the geopolitical back over to the fiscal and realizing that, hey, we're at such high levels now, maybe we will see a slight corrective move to kick things off instead of the expected bounce? Is that a concern at all here that we could correct going into this Fed rate hiking cycle? Or do you think it's still going to energize the sector?
Well, I think, well, as far as base building is concerned, you know, we built a huge base in the gold price. We built a huge base in the miners. And you talked about the GDX level earlier in this conversation being 29. It's that 30 level has held on a monthly basis. I mean, we did have a false breakdown below it back in September, but it came right back up. And that was basically the 30 level was the breakout level. The GDX based for 6.5 years, broke out above 30, went too far too fast, as this sector often does. And now we've had an 18-month consolidation after it went too far too fast. It came back and retested that 30 level. And I think it bottomed in late September on the last day of Q3. And it retested that area and 6-month base. And a 6-month base was also built back in 2015 into 2016. Guess what? When a rate hike cycle was about to begin. That was the first rate hike cycle in quite a while as well. So we're having the first rate hike cycle in quite a while about to start again here. And the juices are really starting to flow in the precious metals themselves, but the miners are continuing to base. And the bigger the base, the bigger the move higher out of that base. And I really think we're close to that. So, you know, every single major gold move has began with rate hike cycles. You know, and the biggest gold move in history started in the mid-1970s when gold was around $100. After it had moved up to $200, it corrected 50%, just like when gold ran up to nearly $2,000 the last time. It ran up to 1925. It corrected 50% down to 1045. And then the gold price went from $100 to $850 in about 5 years, I believe it was. And that began when I think the Fed started to raise rates from 4.75% to 20%. You know, there's no way they could even get close to even 4.75% this time because of all that debt. So it's really going to be interesting to see what happens when the Fed does raise rates. How much are they going to raise rates by? What is the market reaction going to be? Because, I mean, this rate hike cycle is pretty much priced in, but how they're going to go about it is not completely priced in. So, you know, it's less than 4 weeks now when they're going to start raising rates. And as far as the gold price is concerned, on Monday is the monthly close of February. And I expect if we get a monthly close next Monday above 1900, I think the fireworks are going to start to begin in the mining sector.
Yeah, that monthly close, if we can get anywhere above 1900, would be a very strong breakout move for the sector, more of a confirmation that the move is on. But just back to the Fed rate hiking cycle and to inflation, because those two topics kind of weave together. The reason the Fed is so aggressive in getting started is because inflation is running so hot. And to your point, there's no way they can really normalize it and get rates above that. The question is, how long can they go until they have to stop and reverse course? There's already people betting on that. There's already people betting on when will they start cutting rates. And we haven't even started the rate hike cycle yet. So it's going to be interesting to watch. But as far as the mining stocks and how they're affected by these forces, one question I have is, like, sure, the inflation is eating into the margins of the producers. I could see that hampering some of their interest as of late. But now we've seen the gold price start raising higher, and we haven't seen a huge amount of interest in the producers. But as far as the explorers, they're not going to be in production anytime soon, maybe 5 or 10 years. So why have their projects been hit so hard, almost harder than the producers, when inflation for them isn't as big of a cost input? Is it because of the rate increases and their cost of borrowing money? Is that what people are anticipating? Or where do you think the disconnect is with the juniors?
Well, a lot of it is the CapEx on these projects. You know, the CapEx is rising on a lot of these projects. You know, we saw big blowout CapExes in a few companies, an IAM Gold's Côté project and Argonaut Gold's Maginot project. And you're starting to see it in some others as well. So, you know, when investors see that, it's just another reason to get spooked at a time when investors are still capitulating some of their juniors. But I think once the market starts to price in a $1,900 floor, I think a lot of that will go away because, you know, these companies are using, you know, a lot of these feasibility studies have come out recently. They're using $1,600 gold. So if a lot of these feasibility studies that I'm seeing, you know, they have IRRs of over 25-30% at $1,600 gold. Once you factor in $1,900 gold, the IRR goes up to 50% and 60% in some cases. You know, the cost inflation isn't going to mean that much if the gold price is put in a floor at 1,900 and it breaks out of that cup and handles pattern. And once it breaks out of that cup and handle pattern above 2,100, you get a monthly close above 2,100. The technical target is 3,000. You know, I wouldn't be surprised to see 3,000 gold within the next 1 to 2 years. And with all-in costs of production rising right now, obviously, along with everything else, all-in costs are still below $1,100. I think they're around $1,100 right now. 1060 comes to mind. 1060, 1100 is what the average all-in cost of production is now for these mining companies. And that's quite a bit of margin left in their projects.
Yeah, it gives them some wiggle room, especially even if they're using $1,600 gold. That would have been seen as risky a couple of years ago. But now if you look at $1,900 gold, and if we do break out of that long-term cup and handle pattern, which you've highlighted, and we've also had Jordan, as you mentioned, Steve Penny, we've had Christopher Aaron all mention that cup and handle pattern, and they project somewhere between $2,800 and $3,200 gold. So 3,000 is right smack in the middle there, Dave. If that happens, these estimates are going to be seen as cheap. That should give a boost to the developers as well. But I'm still going to loop back one more time to the explorers. When you're a tiny drill play, or you're just trying to prove out a resource, you don't have those estimates on your project yet. You don't even have economic studies yet. Is the real risk for the explorers that if interest rates go up, their cost of borrowing money goes up?
Yes, absolutely. But I don't see how interest rates can rise that much where it's going to affect them too much. You know, if you're a drill play right now, you know, your biggest asset right now is having enough cash to last the rest of the year. Because anybody who's looking around at investing right now, they're seeing value in companies that have already proved up a deposit, that are starting to de-risk a deposit that they've already defined that's high margin. And, you know, why bother with investing in a company that has yet to discover anything? That's even a higher risk when there's so much value out there in companies that have already done so.
Well, in your own portfolio, Dave, and when you're talking to your subscribers, Are you looking for companies that already have defined some of those ounces in the ground and they have some value in place? Because you're right, you don't want to be in a gold bull market or a silver bull market and not have any gold and not have any silver. So you do want to have some, I guess, some margin of safety there. Which kind of companies are you most attracted to at this point in the cycle?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I've been accumulating since October. I've pretty much avoided drill plays that have yet to define a resource. And I took some profit in a few that I did hold. But I still have exposure to them via some warrants that I've yet to exercise. They've still got quite a bit of length on them. And I've got a few others that I like. But I've been mostly concentrating on the developer explorers that are at or close to the feasibility stage or even the finance stage, that have large projects that they're de-risking, they're in safe jurisdictions, they've got the proven management teams that have done it before, that have access to capital, and these management teams have been doing all the right things, you know, raising money at the right times, taking flow through finance at the right time for their exploration if they're still exploring, and keeping their share structures tight. And as long as they've got multi-million ounce deposits that they're de-risking, and there's blue sky potential on their properties that are district scale size, especially if they're in a top tier jurisdiction, you know, a lot of those companies are on sale right now. Sure, some of them have bifurcated higher and they're trading near 52 week highs, but there's still a lot of value out there in companies like that.
Well, we'll wrap it up there, Dave. But if people want to get more of Dave's thoughts and those kind of companies that he has spent time researching and curating for his subscribers, definitely check out the link below to juniorminerjunkie.com below this interview. And Dave, we always appreciate you coming on the KE Report, sharing some ideas with us, looking at these wild metals markets with us and mining shares, and just appreciate you investing a little time here with our audience.
Oh, it's always my pleasure. I could talk junior mining for hours.
That's why you're the junior miner junkie.
Exactly.
Thanks, Dave.